week of our six-week journey home. And the video that we just saw is one person's personal experience of her journey home. And that's exactly what it is. It's a very personal experience. We serve a very personal God. And so that experience is going to be very unique for each and every one of us. Last week, Pastor Ken, when he spoke, he talked about returning home, and we focused on returning home. And the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus tells us a parable about a son who convinces his father that he should have his inheritance, like, right now. And knowing boys his age, I'm sure he probably took his money and he bought some kind of flashy car with it, and I'm sure he spent a whole bunch of money on some really hot chicks, and he just, you know, he went out and he partied up and he spent all of his money until he finally came to his senses and he goes, wow, you know what, even my father's servants have a better life than I do. And so he returns home and he says, you know what, I'm just going to have to humble myself and I'm just going to have to return home. And when he returns home, in the distance, he sees his father, and his father comes, and he runs with his arms open wide. I mean, how stunned probably does he feel at this point? His father welcomes him with open arms, and he says, put a ring on my son, and let's throw a party, because my son, who was dead, is now alive. Wow. See, in this parable, Jesus shows us exactly what it means to be a treasured child of the Father. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to practice just the basic posture of living as his treasured child. So today's going to be a little different, and that Chris and I are going to kind of go back and forth a little bit, and we're going to do some different exercises and some different things that help us to be able to receive God as our Father. So we're going to take just a moment, and we're going to see how we receive from others and not just from God. If you have your journal book with you, you can turn to pages 70 and 71, and there you're going to find a little exercise. If you do not have a journey book, no big deal. This purple insert is in your bulletin that you would have received, and the little quiz is right here on the front for you.
So the first question that we have is, how good are we receiving a present? So just go ahead and circle your response, 1 through 5. 1 being, I don't want anything, and 5 being, I love it. Next question is, how good are we at receiving a compliment? Next is, how good are we at receiving compassion? Next is, how good are we at receiving help? Can the men just get a pass on that one? Or do we?
No.
We have to answer.
Absolutely not. Right. No.
So next, how good are we at receiving advice? So, after you answer those, look at the ones that you answered 1, 2, or 3 to. And just take a few minutes right now and write down some thoughts on why it's so hard to let others give to us. I know that personally, when I went through this, I answered just about everything around a 3. And I guess really thinking about it, you know, why is that? As crazy as it sounds, it's probably tied into a fear of failure. That not only do I feel, not necessarily that I feel that I have failed at that point and need help, but especially when it comes to things like receiving compliments or receiving presents or compassion, I feel like, wow, that means I've got to keep doing this. What if I can't keep this up? What if I can't continue to perform at a level where people are able or willing to give me compliments or give me presents? So I know for me personally, it's tied into a fear of failing, or a fear of letting people down. But take a few minutes and just kind of fill in your thoughts on that.
To receive God's love as his treasured child, we must first recognize our need for him. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. And since he is the Lord of heaven and the earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. I was really uncomfortable the first time I started thinking about this. I need him. I really need him, but he doesn't need me. That's hard because, like, in my marriage, we work really well because I need him and he needs me, right? And a lot of our relationships, that's kind of how it goes. We need each other, and so we work on each other. And then as I thought about it more, I realized, do I really want to serve a God who needs me? How powerful is he? That he would need me? That doesn't really make sense, does it? Like, do I really want to serve a God who needs me? But this is the really, really awesome part, and this is what I get to, and this is what I love so much, is that because his love is so pure and so good for us, he desires us. He may not need us, but he absolutely desires us. This next slide that you're going to see, oh, you can't see him very well. This is Charlie. Last Sunday morning, Charlie was left in a cardboard box outside our church. And he, when you first saw him, you noticed a few things. One is that he couldn't move. His belly was just really big and full and tight and bloated, and his bottom feet, his legs just didn't work, and he smelled like something foul. It was absolutely awful. And so I kept looking at him, and I thought, well, this little puppy, he just needs to be held. I mean, we have to pick him up in some way. I mean, I know he's nasty, he's dirty, and he stinks, but he just needs to be a kangaroo hold. You know, he just needs to be close to somebody. So I went and I got some baptism towels, and we covered him up, and service began. So I passed him off to another lady, who then passed him off, and he just kind of, a little baby, got passed around like a little newborn baby. And so during worship, when we were worshiping, I began seeing this little puppy and how scared he was. And I started thinking about how that's me. That's us. That's the body of Christ. We need someone, because the people that we think are going to love us, just like this little puppy, I'm sure he's only 14 weeks old, somebody took him home and he was probably thinking, I'm going to make them happy and they're going to make me happy and life is going to be really great. But that's not what happened. Over the series of 14 weeks, this little puppy, he was abused, and he was broken, and he was hurt to the point that his spine was broken, his spinal cord was severed, his ribs were just fractured, and they were all in different parts of healing. And so we know that this little 14-week-old puppy, he just has been through so much hurt and so much pain. And as we were worshiping, I began to see myself as that puppy, in that pain, hurt by people that I trusted, hurt by people that I love. And I'm just sitting there, and I need somebody to come and pick me up and hold me. I need somebody to come and clean me up, because I'm sitting in my own urine and my own feces. And sometimes we even get to the point to where we get numb. I've been there before. I don't know if you've ever been there before. But we become numb to the point where we're like, you know what, God, if I could even feel some pain, it would be better than just sitting here and not feeling anything at all. So we get to that point to where we really need somebody. We really need him. So anyone who knows me knows that I don't say no. You can ask me to do anything, and for some unforeseen reason, I just think that I can, like, be Superwoman, and I can do it all, and I can't, and I'm not. But I brought this puppy home with me. My husband's like, you are crazy. What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm taking it to the vet. And so as the week went on, he brought us so much joy. He made us so happy. Anybody ever seen the movie Happy Feet? This little penguin, he gets up and he like puts his little hands like this. And so that's what he does in the morning. When he's ready for breakfast, when he gets up, he gets in the kitchen, he goes by the counter, he does this little happy feet. And he wants to dance. He wants to dance for his breakfast. And God began talking to me about that and saying, look at you. You don't need him in your life. You don't need another pile of laundry. You don't need the chaos that this puppy's going to add to your home. But he brings you so much joy. And that is what I do for you. Even though I don't need you, you bring me so much joy. When you stand there in the morning with your happy feet dancing for me, it brings me so much joy. And I just had to share that story today because that is just the way that God is just moving within us, that he doesn't need us, but how awesome is it that he desires us? So to receive God's love as his treasured child, we also must learn to embrace humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Humility is, it's an act of receiving something when we don't deserve it. So what does it look like when we wake up in the morning? Imagine yourselves as the son who's gone out, you've spent everything, you've came back, and your father has welcomed you, and now he's thrown you a party. And the morning after the party, you wake up, what does that look like? Essentially, we probably think, this is the day the hammer is going to drop. My father's going to come to his senses. He's going to realize how awful I have been. He's going to realize that it was just a mistake to forgive me. He's going to just completely wipe everything away and really give it to me today. He's really, really going to give it to me today. At this point, we start to feel guilty over our forgiveness. We feel guilt over forgiveness because he's offering us grace that we just don't deserve. We're going to watch a video here, and this video, it aims to portray what that morning after the party looks like.
You start to wake up from the best night's sleep of your life, and it takes a second to remember where you are. You keep your eyes closed, trying to remember. Then it comes back to you. Last night, you came home. Was that all just a dream? And then everything floods back. How scared you were to return. How ashamed. How unworthy. But when your dad saw you coming, he ran to you and gathered you in his arms, nearly crushing you in his embrace. You had been living as an orphan for so long, you had forgotten what it felt like to be loved. But he welcomed you home like a treasured child. Then he laid the most lavish table and threw a party in your honor. Even though you didn't deserve it, all was forgiven. You keep your eyes closed, reliving those moments, not wanting to wake up. But then you remember all the things you've done, all the ways you've wronged him. No one could really forgive all that, could they? You listen and realize the house is so quiet now. Too quiet. The calm before the storm. You know your father must be furious now that he's had time to sleep on it. You would be. You imagine him up all night, getting angrier and angrier. You feel sure the punishment you deserve will be waiting for you downstairs. Panic builds in your chest. and you squeeze your eyes shut tighter. You want to grab your stuff and bolt for the window and not have to face him. But you know you have nowhere to run. So you steel yourself for the inevitable. You start to ready comebacks and excuses, practicing your I'm sorry speech. Maybe you can still convince him to let you hang around as a hired hand. Anything would be better than the life you left behind. You open your eyes. Something is tied to the foot of your bed. It's a letter. A love letter. His love. The love of God for you is written everywhere.
I want you to know how much I love you. Last night was just the beginning. I'm always going to be with you, and I'm strong enough to save you, no matter what. You make me smile from ear to ear. My heart literally sings over you, and that's how much I love you. I've chosen you to be part of the holy family I love. Now with you, I'm going to live with you, and you with me. Even if you walk out again, I'll never give up on you. I created you just by speaking, and you, out of all creation, are my prized possession, my masterpiece. Even if everyone else rejects you, you will always have a place with me. Because of my love, you can always come home. The plans I have for you are better than you could dream. I will give you a future and a hope. Nothing can separate you from my love. No person or power, no fear or sorrow. Nothing that could ever happen to you in this life is strong enough to separate you from me. I'm the one who will fight for you against all your enemies, and I will win. I will chase you down with goodness and mercy all the days of your life, and you will live with me in my house forever. Welcome home. My table is laid for you, and there is a banner always hanging in your honor. It says love. Every day, I pour my love on you. It will never run out.
That's better. When God says it's gone, it's gone. But we're the ones who continue to doubt. So instead of doubting, we have to be humble. And we have to just accept His grace. Because as a treasured child of God, receiving from Him is continuous. It's not just a one-time thing. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We have to come to a point where we quit focusing on what we have done, and we start focusing on what He can do. He doesn't change His mind, but because of our sinful nature, this is really hard for us to believe. We have to accept the difference between imperfect people and a perfect God, because people are going to let us down. They're the ones who have put this lens on our eyes that make us think that God is ready to drop the hammer on us. And that's not how His love is at all, because His love is perfect. As a treasured child of God, He will correct and He will discipline you. This journey is kind of hard, isn't it? Because we have to start looking at ourselves. We have to start digging a little deeper. We can't just scratch the surface. There are these small groups that Ken said we had to go to. We don't want to go sit in a room full of people we barely know, talking about things that we don't even want to bring up ourselves. It's challenging. It's hard because God is moving within us. He's showing us new ways to reveal Himself, to show the ways that He wants us to see Him through. We've been on a journey of correction. And being corrected is never easy. I doubt any of us would say that we are not any better off by recognizing the things that we need to be corrected on. And where we've sought approval and misunderstood about God, just as a parent must direct the ways of the child, so does our Heavenly Father. And this is the big one. His correction is always soft. Because His love is so unfailing, His correction is always soft. At this time, we're going to go ahead and worship invite the worship team to come on forward. Faith is an experience, and it's something that we do. So we're going to continue today in some ways that we can experience our faith. And this is where service is going to get a little crazy, and you may be like, Ken, never let her get back up there again. She's crazy. What was she thinking? What was she doing? And that's okay, because we're going to challenge it a little bit today. This morning, you are invited to join your Father at breakfast. We have our breakfast table set out in front of us. See, breakfast is the time where we can set apart any of our anxieties that we may have about our own worth, and we come. We sit in our pajamas, our hair's undone, I don't have my war paint on yet. Stinky breath and all. I mean, He is ready to meet us right where we are, when we are our most vulnerable point. There's two things you'll need to know. One is that when you come up, you're not going to see your normal communion elements. And that's okay, because this morning we are coming to sit and have breakfast with the Father. And that's all that this is about. So when you come forward and you look and you see the table and you see a place setting on either end, I want you to imagine that you are coming forward and you are sitting there, and the Father is on one end and you are on the other, and he is ready to sit and listen. And he's ready to have a conversation, which means that we are ready to sit and listen back to him, because a conversation is a two-way. So when you come up, I want you to picture yourself coming and sitting and dining at the table, at the breakfast table with your Father this morning. Second thing you need to know is that we're going to do this together this morning. So when the music starts, everybody is invited to come up and take your juice and take your oh-so-lovely little surprise inside of that basket. They're McDonald's biscuits. So thank you, McDonald's. They donated those for us this morning. So when you come forward, I want you to get your bread and to take bring your juice and bring it back to you at your seat. And then Chris is going to come up, and he's going to guide us. And we are going to all sit and enjoy our time with the Father together. You do not have to be a member of our church to partake in our communion. You simply just must be a member of God's family. You just, as long as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is all it takes for you to be able to participate in communion with us this morning.
Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." The video showed us a moving image of the love letter the Father left for his Son after he'd come home. Jesus Christ is our love letter from God to us, telling us how much he loves us. It's his way of saying, "My son, my daughter, come home. I'm waiting for you with open arms. I love you. I miss you. The door is open for you." And Jesus Christ is that door for us. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Let's take communion.
Through another experience, another way that we can receive from God our Father, and that is through worship. Scripture says that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. And so today we're just going to ask that we just can receive from the Father. So we're going to continue with one more song in worship. So I invite you to just continue to sit at the breakfast table with your Father. Continue to sit and have a conversation with him. If you want to rise, you are more than welcome to do that. If you want to sit, if you kneel, if you stand, whatever you do, however you need, whatever you need to do to be able to receive from the Father, we just invite you to do that this morning. So Father, as we continue in worship, we ask us that you just show us what it means and what it looks like to receive you. Father, reveal to us your mercy and your grace and your unending love. Draw us closer to you and draw us closer to home. Amen. In what kind of ways that maybe you're missing that you need to receive his love and his mercy a little more? One resource that you have, and we talked about it in the announcements, is that this evening there's the Journey Prayer Experience. We're going to worship, and we are going to just spend some time with the Father and continue praying and seeking Him. So that's this evening, right here in the main sanctuary at 6:30, if you'd like to come be a part of that. At this time, we invite all of the prayer teams to come forward, and no matter what your need is, if it's physical, if it's spiritual, if it's an emotional need, we just would love to pray with you this morning. So go and have a good week, and may you receive many blessings from your Father.